And welcome to this month's episode of Real Geeks, our first recording of 2021. Yes, it's March when you see this. I really don't care. We went on a holiday. Deal with it. For this episode, I was trying to figure out something that would kind of relate to everything that's been going on in the world this year, especially in the States. And I thought about doing something like Enemy of the State, but then it was like, do I want to do something now that would probably really just re-traumatize people? Because it's like, as much as that movie from like 20, 25 years ago is relevant as all hell, maybe it's not the best one for like right this second.
Plus,
we don't want to antagonize people much.
Well, no, let's at least get a few episodes in and then we'll start trying to piss people off.
Plus, I always felt that Cold Fusion was a much better film about that exact same thing.
Ooh.
Mm. Check it out. Keanu Reeves.
Classic. Oh, okay, well, mental note. We'll have to add that to the list.
Yeah. No, I'd definitely be down for that one. But for right now, I was listening to an episode of oneofus.net's podcast, Digital Noise, where they talk about like home releases and stuff. And they mentioned a movie that made me go, that is gloriously weird, but kind of perfect to help people deal with and unwind after the entire year thus far, which is 1999's Ghost Dog, The Way of the Samurai, which is a film that you can't describe without the person you're talking to going, wait, what?
It's a 2-hour rap video.
Directed by Jim Jarmusch, of all people.
Damn right.
And it's essentially Jim Jarmusch's love letter to samurai films. And while this is really the only Jim Jarmusch film I have ever watched, from everything I understand, everything I know about his usual choices, Jim Jarmusch and samurai films don't normally go in the same sentence.
No, but witty, dry, social commentary satires does.
And yeah,
this is possibly the driest satire you will ever see. But the entire thing is just riffing not only on samurai films and Kurosawa, but most importantly, of course, the immaturity of gangster films, which in many ways samurai films, of course, are.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And based on what the plot of this film is, because the plot itself is pretty, it's kind of generic, let's be honest. But the way that he tells this story, it's, you could almost call this like an ASMR action movie, which, again, two things that do not belong in the same sentence.
Yeah. It's like art house, grindhouse.
Yeah. Very quickly for anyone who doesn't know, ASMR stands for Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response, and it's basically video and audio or audio content that's designed to trigger an incredibly relaxing tingling sensation, usually in the scalp or maybe like the back of the neck or down along the back. And I have sworn by these videos to help me get to sleep for years.
I actually didn't know what the letters stood for, and I have never had a good response to them.
They don't do anything for me, one way or
another.
It's
like crinkling paper or nails down a chalkboard. It's just...
Oh, yeah. No, make no mistake. It doesn't work for everyone. I think it's something like 75% of people will have a positive reaction.
Just enough to make it continue going then.
You try a few different styles, and if you find something that works, awesome. That simply just also may not happen. But this stars Forrest Whitaker, who, as I understand it, the role was actually written for.
And it was, and the trivia says that if he wasn't up for taking part, then the film wouldn't have been made.
Which I could totally see, really, because watching this, I don't know who else could do this role.
Adapted, this could be Lawrence Fishburne, much in the same way of his character that appears in John Wick is somewhat a reference to Ghost Dog, but that would still... Lawrence Fishburne's charm and charisma on screen is so much more active.
Yeah.
While Forrest Whitaker's is this passive sadness that is in everything he does, and is, of course, why you write characters for Forrest Whitaker specifically. I could see this being done in by Lawrence Fishburne in the same way I could see Lawrence Fishburne's character from John Wick being replaced by Forrest Whitaker.
That's totally true.
I think take your word for it. I still have not watched the John Wick franchise. I got as far as the puppy.
Oh no, I completely understand checking out right there. The entire thing more or less is revenge porn for that puppy.
Yeah, that I understand. That I totally understand. I'd be right there with him. I just don't want to watch it.
That's
no, fair enough. And whereas with Ghost Dog, this is it's essentially revenge meditation for pigeons.
Yeah.
I mean,
for birds.
And so, like I said, we'll take this opportunity to cut to a trailer for the film, and then deep dive, spoilers abound, and so on and so forth.
Oh God, a late 90s trailer.
Even if a samurai's head were to be suddenly cut off, he should still be able to perform one more action with certainty. If one becomes like a revengeful ghost and shows great determination, though his head is cut off, he should not die.
We got a really big problem now. What we need to do is eliminate the scumbag Whack Frank. Mr. Vargo wants every member of his family to make it a priority to erase this weirdo. His killer needs to be neutralized, erased from the face of the planet. This guy is a professional. Going after him could be very dangerous.
past 4 years, this guy has done maybe 12 perfect contracts. Perfect. Like a ghost.
It was very, I want to say laid back. I want to say back. But if you're not watching and if you're not paying attention, you will get lost.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's the funny thing is it's a very straightforward plot. You know, there's no twist in it at all, except for the twist that the entire plot hinges on, which is upfront, early, and is explicitly told to you. It's more like this movie is zen. It was always going to end the way it ends, and everything that happens in it just happens.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the most fascinating thing for me, because I could sit there and go, this movie is just average in so many ways, but at the end, I'm still completely satisfied by it. And Forrest Whitaker's performance alone, I mean, if nothing else, that man needs to do ASMR videos. I'm sorry. This needs to happen. Because just the text from one of the books that is so pivotal to the film, The Way of the Samurai, the Japanese name for it, I have completely forgotten. But this is why we have captions and editing.
Agukad something.
Yeah. We can put it back in later. But when he's reading passages from that and scene breaks, it's just so calming, and you can't help but just kind of reflect just a little bit that, like, this is essentially like Vita, like you said, you aren't interested in watching the John Wick franchise because it's just like too much. And Ghost Dog is basically a very mild, very calm John Wick.
I can buy that. I can totally see that. In fact, towards the end of the movie, because there is a dog in Ghost Dog, not the reason that the movie is titled so, but there is a dog. It's a really cute pity. And then at the end of the movie, I had that one thought of, where's the fucking dog?
The dog's
like, is that the reason the movie is titled so?
No, but it
reflects
his own soul going ahead of him.
All right, I'm gonna have to watch this now at that ghost with the dog being a ghost. I hate you sometimes, Jesus. I was thoroughly prepared just walk away from this movie having enjoyed it, and maybe I'll watch it again in 5. Now I'm gonna have to watch it again. Shit.
Yeah. Now this is a film that I really wish, instead of college kids, at least when I was in college, getting into like Scarface and Boondock Saints, I wish they got into this, because it's kind of the same approach. It's like trying to deal with the you know, like, well, quite frankly, violent masculinity, but at the same time, it undermines it so entirely. All of the tough, violent villains in this are repeatedly shown to assert how childlike they are.
Yeah.
They're watching classic cartoons, and at one point, Itchy and Scratchy. Not The Simpsons. They're watching Itchy and Scratchy. Meanwhile, like, the two children who appear in this, the young lady and an even younger lady, are both avid book readers, as is, of course, Ghost Dog. It has a lot to say about, like, immaturity and growth. On the cover, yeah, it's a samurai revenge film, but really, it's also about talking about Rashomon. It's about just understanding these different things.
Oh, absolutely. And
there we go.
Natasha now joining us.
Hello. Looking stylish, Mickey.
I'm in pain.
Oh, honey. I'm sorry.
And don't you actually we're still very early in just general discussion. You haven't missed much. Pretty much. But with you know, popping in, we can also take this break to do something that I forgot to do in the opening, which is of course to mention that please, if you're enjoying the show, hit those like and subscribe buttons. And if you really want to support us, and because frankly I'm getting hot and I want to take this sweater off, I have an announcement.
Strip.
Not quite, but we have merch.
Yeah, shirts to get now? Yay!
I finally don't have to pitch other side projects to support this damn show.
Yay. We got merch.
So you can go to realgeeks.redbubble.com to we have the to borrow a line from Double Toasted, the classic black tee with the white logo, with I believe a total of about 6 designs or so on the site, and frankly, buying these shirts would not only support the show, but it would mean I could hire an artist and do a little bit more.
More is good. No, it looks cool.
Heaven forbid. Heaven forbid you actually have growth and expansion and
right?
And taking a brand and bringing it somewhere.
I might have to actually start putting effort into this show.
Yeah, because you know, Mickey and I haven't done that at all.
Actually, that's the funny thing. I should mention at this point, this show has helped me get literal fucking jobs. So
nice.
Yeah, I'm gonna be associate producing 2 different podcast companies.
Sweet.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Get back to the movie, since obviously I don't want to keep Crash any longer than we absolutely have to. And the first detail thing we have to, like, the villains in this movie are truly amazing, because these are the worst mobsters I have ever seen on screen.
They're an old and dying breed, yeah. Literally.
But I mean, like, even what's their deal? They hang out at a Chinese restaurant.
They don't pay their rent. People.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the
they're not actually mobsters. They're wannabes. They even, at a couple of points, such as not paying their rent while doing absolutely nothing. No point do you see them engage in, like, business.
Other than this guy needs to go.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, those are supposed to be rare occurrences that punctuate the everyday illegal business you do. And at some point, after Ghost Dog has done a few things in the film, one of them, as he's dying, even says, oh, he's doing it old school. He's taking us out like we're the real mob. And it's like, yeah, that's exactly why every time there's one of you idiots on screen, you're watching cartoons. You're not mobsters. You're children.
No, these are mobster stereotypes to the point that I don't know how Chaz commentary is not in this movie.
They were cartoon villains, which is why I found it hilarious that, you know, there was a lot of cartoon watching.
Yeah.
Geriatric cartoon villains, no less.
And the cartoons are predominantly geriatric.
Another nice little detail that also truly shows how incompetent these people are is the simple fact that every property associated with them has a for sale or for rent sign in the front.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which was just like that really nice little, wow, you guys are kind of pathetic.
Everything about them was pathetic. Yeah. Now, a lot of this is our choices made for budget. But obviously, when you make these choices for budget, you then clean something up so it doesn't look like it's a budget choice. But those buildings were actually run down and therefore incredibly cheap. the cars that the mobsters drive are all about 10 years out of date because they're incredibly cheap. Great for the production, but translating that then into a visual metaphor for these guys just being fucking clown shoes is a terrific creative decision.
And it's also a nice little addition to the movie's general theme of dealing with change, because these guys quite clearly can't. They are
they're stuck in a mindset that is outdated and old, just like them and their clothes and everything about them. What?
And actually, it's kind of funny that that carries through entirely, except for one instance, or rather one character, because there is one mobster who, for some reason, is really into gangster rap. And then he ends up dead anyway, but I felt like he should have been the only one to really survive, because he's the only one who has any sense of the real world at that time. Especially when he starts going on about how much he loves Flavor Flav.
Is that the one that put talcum in areas that shouldn't be mentioned?
Yep. I was just going to say, as much as his musical choices don't pay off dramatically, how do they pay off comedically? Because that scene in the bathroom, especially when he starts actually singing Flavor Flav,
I have to
laugh too, because like there's the cartoon playing where a bad guy is firing a gun up a pipe, and then victim is getting pelted with bullets in the bathroom. And I'm like, and it cuts to Ghost Dog is undoing, turning off the water, undoing the pipe. And I'm like, okay, it doesn't actually work that way, but it did. So color me shocked and surprised, and I'll be over here not saying anything, because that was actually a funny death.
Yeah, that was funny. Not only for its visual choices, but for the ostentatiousness of him having a gold-plated bathroom that doesn't even have one of those loop-de things under the sink.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So with that ratings, obviously for myself, this is a full 5 out of 5. Is it going to be problematic for some? Of course, obviously, it is dated, and you have some of these mobster characters, especially again the old dude with the cane and the hearing aids, that is a dated character in a dated movie. And on the one hand, stuff like that is going to bother some people, absolutely, and I completely understand, but somehow this is an average movie that by the end is still just completely relaxing and completely satisfying. And that is, I think, a once in a lifetime thing that I don't think Hollywood is even capable of making today.
No, because they're all about the big explosions and the fast scenes and the fast cars and the scantily clad DNA, and it's definitely a removal from that.
And as much as, like we've said, the end of the movie does very much set up a potential sequel. Unless Jim Jarmusch himself is going to do it. As much as I love this movie, I would rather just have this one and stop. Because I don't know that I would trust anyone else to make it.
No, it takes too much restraint.
No, exactly. And especially where today, something this would probably be given to like a Michael Bay or even RZA himself. And as much as I think RZA would do the best he could with it, he'd probably do another Man in the Iron Mask, or Man of the Iron Fists, I mean. Iron something.
Man with the Iron Fist.
Yeah.
And okay, let's be honest, the budget probably, most of it probably went to the carrier pigeons, just having those. So I take that out and it's like, well, shit, we have a budget now. So what are we going to do?
Yeah, they actually had real ice cream on set, and that probably was a good chunk as well. Considering
somebody, quick, go to the dollar store. I'm sorry, to the corner store.
But Crash, your rating?
This film is, and if you have seen it, you certainly did.
Not wrong. Natasha?
Yeah, I don't know if I can put a number to it either. I didn't know what to expect, but one of the things that did bother me was, you know, a black man being, you know, subservient to a white guy. Oh, better than you than me, right? And it just very off-putting to me, I suppose. But and at the same time as well, I'm not used to these sort of slow movies, and just, yeah, as we said, the gangsters were just awful. I mean, a lot more of like the slower things, you know, and methodical parts to it, you know. Definitely a bit more of an understanding listening to you guys talk about it, but yeah, it's just, there were some aspects to this film where I just did not, I suppose, feel comfortable. But I mean, that is the real world. It makes us uncomfortable, and on we go. So yeah, I think just because it's not in my realm of what I usually go for, just kind of threw me, I suppose. But I'd probably try it again later down the road. But on first viewing, yeah, I don't really have a number.
No, to totally it. Fair. I think the only thing I would say in response to that is that subservience is more part of Ghost Dog's code than anything else.
Oh yeah, but which I get, but I mean at the same time too,
to be the samurai to this guy's, you know, apparent lord.
Yes, yeah, well, I mean, I can also argue
that that mobster saved his life.
Yeah.
So he is beholden to that mobster. That's not an issue of color. I mean, by today's standards, yeah, people would probably jump on it as a color issue. Or a race issue, but
yeah.
In his mindset, this man saved my life at a pivotal point in who I am, and well, he shaped who I am. So I'm beholden to him.
Well, my mind also went to Misa Jar Jar Binks. Misa, your humble servant now. So,
but speaking of that moment, the I guess inciting moment for the entire film where the mobster saves him. It itself, and it's wildly understated, and doesn't come back up like a third time that probably would have landed it, but it is itself undergoing a Rashomon effect. In the first time that we see the flashback, one of the mooks, the kids beating up Ghost Dog, point a gun at the mobster, and then the mobster kills them. But the second time, when the mobster himself is telling the story, the guy points the gun at Ghost Dog, and then the mobster kills him. I feel like that. I don't think that there's much that needs work on in this. The racism is there because it's predominantly meant to reflect how these people have to live with the violence that is constantly threatened. The cycle,
especially
is
in
right
New
there.
Jersey, in that time frame, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. But they should. I really wish that they had come back to that third time to maybe intimate that. I believe Roger Ebert said, "Ghost Dog, it's never overtly explained, but Ghost Dog is not sane. He's not living in reality, and that the Rashomon effect of even remembering." That, like, when his life was saved, and what it implies for the morality of the mobster. It could have been delved into even just a slight bit.
Yeah, because I mean, it's like, he's a mobster. Why would he save some random kid on the street? You know, because I think diving into that definitely would have given it a bit more meaning as well, because that was one other thing I didn't quite come to understand. I can understand, you know, you saved my life, I am now indebted to you, but why did he save his life?
Yeah, so. And of course,
that's the curiosity of it. Yeah. Why did he save his life? Which, by the way, I kind of want to point out that I believe that that scene, that version of Ghost Dog, was played by Forrest Whitaker's younger brother.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, it was his family alike, but now it does get revisited once, and that's the purpose of the bear killing scene.
Yeah.
Why did Ghost Dog stop to kill these two poachers? Same reason. He and the bear have no relationship whatsoever. If given a chance, the bear would probably kill him because it's a bear. Just as an Italian mobster would probably see no reason to stop three Italian teenagers from killing a black guy. Why did he do it? Because he did.
Yeah, in that moment, he felt it was the right thing to do.
Yeah, because it's the old way.
Yeah, very much that old school. This 3-on-1 attack is dishonorable. My code requires me to step in and do something about it. And like I said back at the start, it's a lot of this is very much a standard plot. And the main character who's been a part of the mob because he was saved by a lieutenant, and he has that almost... I'm not maybe not specifically in this movie, but often kind of a father-son relationship with them. It's pretty standard, but also there's the simple fact that as much as, again, on the surface, I can totally see how someone would see that relationship as kind of racist on the surface. But at the same time, if it's inspiring conversations like the one we just had,
mm-hmm.
that's kind of a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Because
I see
that's
your point. Yeah.
Like to get more general for a second, on social media especially, that's something that very much does not happen nowadays.
No. And it's something that, I mean, we have to have those uncomfortable conversations in order to be able to grow. And
exactly.
learn from them and, you know, benefit from them. So, yeah, there's a lot more uncomfortable conversations that need to have, you know, to be had.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's definitely, which is something that I appreciate about, you know, doing these reviews with you guys, because, you know, it kind of clears things up. And, like, I mean, the first one that I did with you guys doing The Craft, I messaged Elise afterward and said, you know, I'm sorry if I came off as, you know, rude or anything. I obviously didn't have that understanding. So, you know, thank you for, you know, taking the time to explain and teach. I feel like I really learned something. And that's sort of the same thing with this, because it's like, I feel like I'm missing something, and I'm glad to bring it up and, you know, can talk about it, because now I have, you know, sort of a better understanding. And yeah, I kind of felt uncomfortable at moments, like, oh, I'm an asshole, but, you know, there's no other way gonna learn. So
if you're missing anything, it's just growing up in the 90s.
So, yeah, well, I mean, born in 96,
really,
I was 96, no, yeah, so I just trying to make it.
And also just questionably, Crash, this entire conversation stays in.
Oh, yes.
And
I believe Natasha may be cutting this one. I'm going to be getting you the all of the stuff for Haphead tonight. Sorry about the delay. But, yeah.
It's okay, I'm back to school anyway.
Okay.
But
I'll work on Untouchables, and if you can, I'll make sure to get this as well to you as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm going to get out of this one.
Let's finally get to Vita.
I'm having a hard time quantifying it with a number. I really am. I didn't hate the movie. I didn't, oh my God, I love this movie, react to it either.
Yeah.
It was just like, part of it was, what the fuck did I just watch? Like, there's the scene on the roof, and like, I actually messaged the group last night, like, okay then. And that was the scene on the roof where he's actually doing the whole samurai knife training thing with, like, just what an odd, I mean, for him, for the movie, yes, it fits. It does. The cinematography aspect of it, yeah, like the slowing down, the colors, it was very, very acid trippy, which to me would put it more 80s than 90s, but...
It's very influenced by 80s Hong Kong flicks. That's
yes, yeah, that yeah.
weird like, effect comes from.
So when I'm left with this kind of situation, I break it down. Was it well written? Yes. Yes, I enjoyed the script. Was it well cast? Well, you know, obviously the fact that it was written for Forrest Whitaker and that he did the role, obviously the casting was good. I adore Pearlene. She was so sweet. And the mobster's daughter at the end of the movie, like, you know, the mobster gets into the car and he's been shot and he's like, okay, let's go. And the car don't go nowhere. And, you know, he and the daughter talk for, and it's not his daughter, it's one of the other mobster's daughters, but they exchange a few words about the book that is now returned to her because she loaned it, Rashomon, yeah. She loaned that to the ghost dog at the start of the movie. When, you know, he goes in and kills a mobster and doesn't kill her because that wasn't part of the contract, because that's the samurai way. So that book went from her to ghost dog to Pearlene to the mobster back to the daughter. And then at the and once they've had their little conversation about what just happened in the book, and she's like, okay, we can leave now. And the car leaves. So obviously, the mobster's not the one that's going to be now in charge of the mob. It's going to be the daughter. All of that stuff, the cast interaction, I thought was very positive as well. Because sometimes you get a movie that's really good, but the chemistry between the actors or the characters just taints it or puts a bad spin on it. If I break down all the stuff that I normally look at in a movie of did I like it or did I not like it, all of it strikes positive chords. But I still can't say, did I love this movie? Because it's just, it's so weird. would I tell people to watch it? Yeah, you got 2 hours to kill and you're looking for something to do? Sure, put this on. Would I be all, oh my God, you have to, like, whatever you're stopping, whatever you're doing right now, stop it and go watch the movie? I wouldn't do that.
But until a promising young woman, once again, please don't forget those like and subscribe buttons. I generally don't push hitting the bell because the bell annoys me.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's very much, it's that button where I'm going, YouTube, why did you do that? And also again, one last time, realgeeks.redbubble.com. We have merch and sales would be greatly appreciated.
Well, I just started a new job, so once I get my first good pay, I will totally head over and pick up some Real Geek merch, because I need to add it to my GBN merch.
Yeah, I'm going to log on immediately after we're done here, so.
Nice.
Schoolwork, what's that? I'm going to go buy shit.
Excellent. Crash, what do you have going on outside of this?
Good Lord. Fuck, what don't I have? I'm going to be appearing on the Nighttime Podcast tomorrow afternoon during a live hit to talk about John Tillman, the white supremacist thief. I'm going to appear on the Canadian Politics is Stupid podcast, talking about J. Hutton Pulitzer and his involvement in the $2.7 billion lawsuit from one of the voting companies. I will probably be working on some things for Rolled Up Productions and possibly Podstarter. And I just got published a short story published about Gus's Pub in a book that has been printed by a publication company in Kansas City. No, ooh. I can't remember the name of the fucking thing.
Look at you go.
There you go.
Damn.
And Natasha's just going, fuck, I gotta follow that.
Yeah, that's called I'm in school. Everything remains internal unless permission is given otherwise. So, the only thing I've got going on is this, work, school, trying to survive a pandemic, occasionally getting things for when I have a place of my own. I bought a toaster. It has a digital display.
Slot, 4-slot, wide slot. What kind of toaster are we talking
about? Slot, two, wide slots, 2-slot, and it has a little digital display instead of a knob.
Remind me some point to bring my Star Wars toaster on screen. It is. It doesn't just toast the word Star Wars onto your toast and that's all it toasts. No, it's in the shape and the perfect exact size of Darth Vader's helmet.
I always knew that helmet was good for more than just saving his life.
It's a half-ass toaster.
But yeah, no, I'm not nearly as successful as our dear Crash or the rest of yous. So I'm just getting started.
You're a student. That's pretty successful.
You've got
You're a student in continuing education, following a dream. That's pretty successful.
University, college, I'm so in debt.
That just comes with the territory.
That just comes with the territory of being human.
Exactly.
Let's be honest. But this is adding to my resume as well, so I'm with Crash on that one.
Excellent. And so. Finally, Vita.
Oh, like Crash, what am I not doing? I just started a new job, which, you know, I can't talk about because I don't have to kill you.
Talk about it.
Not allowed to. I'm surviving by, you know, watching, you know, binging TV, and when my depression isn't that bad, making things. Oh, by the way, and I know that this isn't in time for the recording or anything, but a certain Doctor Who order of fabric should be arriving on Monday. You know, the villains, the Daleks, the Cybermen, the Weeping Angels. So I'll be busy in the next little bit making new masks and stuff.
All right, so I'm already on that order list, right?
If you aren't, like, what's wrong? What's going on?
Once the order comes in, I am literally going to be taking, because it was an over $300 US order, so it's like an over $500 Canadian order.
Ow!
My credit card went, what the fuck are you doing? But, you know, it was worth it, because I'm going to be making clothes for myself out of this stuff, too.
There you go.
So I will have convention clothes for once conventions start up again.
Yeah, once conventions start up again, I'm doing hoop skirts for costumes. That's the plan.
Six feet. Yep.
Exactly.
Vita, personal order, special order question. Can you make a scarf out of the Dalek cloth?
If it were scarf-like fabric, I could. But for the most part, it is cotton. It's woven cotton.
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, some of it is cotton lycra, but again, that's not really scarf-like material. Wow. But the next order, because I mean there's going to be more pre-orders, I will check back with what kind of fabric you have in mind, because there are different fabric bases that I can have these prints put onto.
Cool. Because I just got a picture in my mind of a sweet Dalek scarf, and it's like, yeah.
But just to end the review, We've mentioned a few times the segments of Forrest Whitaker reading from The Way of the Samurai, and I wanted to.
Oh, is this where you're going to insert the cover of the book so that shows the title and the author?
Nowadays, I think it's particularly relevant simply because it's about the idea of accepting change. It is said that what is called the spirit of an age is something to which one cannot return.
That the spirit gradually dissipates is due to the world's coming to an end. For this reason, although one would like to change today's world back to the spirit of 100 years or more ago, it cannot be done. Thus, it is important to make the best out of every generation.